Jesus saves. Amen. How many of you like oysters? Some do, some don't. Down, up, whatever. Okay. It was a tradition on New Year's Eve that my dad would always buy oysters. And whether we'd be up north at Granddad's or home, it doesn't matter. You could always anticipate we were going to have oysters to have for the dinner on New Year's Eve. But what I do remember as a young little guy is how Mom and him and others would diligently be taking the oysters and cutting them and looking into them, evaluating them, etc., before they put them into the hot pot and boiled them and everything, because they were looking for a pearl. And I do remember one time up at Granddad's, I have no idea what it was all about, but I do remember them finding a good-sized, beautiful white pearl. And boy, were they excited about that pearl. Now, whether or not they got money for it, sold it, I don't know. But I do know that they were anticipating, and they were spending hours before they boiled the oysters to eat them. They wanted to find a pearl. They wanted to find a pearl. And so as you and I look at the book of Proverbs, I want to find some pearls for you this morning. And we want to take those pearls and make a string of pearls and, so to speak, hang around your neck. You know, the Bible says that heaven's is gates and so on are covered, and one of the jewels that are mentioned over is pearl. Pearl of great price. We've heard of that concept many times. I have my favorite verses in Proverbs, and if you've read it, you probably may have some too. And as you evaluated those Proverbs, some of you may have committed them to memory, and you have kept them there, and you use them every once in a while to kind of add a ray of beauty and expression into your personal life, because these pearls really do have a lot of impressive relationship as far as individual and life is concerned. They have wisdom in them that's unapproachable. And you and I, as we read these pearls and we see them and we string them all together, we'll be noted, and we'll note it over and over and over again, how much wisdom and insight and discretion there are within those simple little verses. They're brief, many of them, just brief statements of fact, yet contained within them is unrelated, unmeasurable wisdom for our lives. And such as in Proverbs 25:11, it simply says, "A word fitly spoken is like apple of gold and a network of silver." An apple of gold and a network of silver. Well, what is that? A word fitly spoken is worth all the money in the world. There's no way you can put a value on a word that is fitly spoken. A word that is fitly spoken. Think about it. A word that is fitly spoken is like an apple of gold that is arrayed within a network of silver. Can you remember a word that someone spoke to you that was fitly spoken, that meant all the world of difference in your individual life? You see, that string of pearl illustrates, as brief as it might be, the beauty of the phrases and as they are spoken and how they fitly are spoken and how it comes together in such a way of significance. For instance, again, a very similar concerning good news is significant. Proverbs 25:25 states, "As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from another country." I mean, come on. Think about it. Good news coming to you from some other source than what you would anticipate. You had no idea that this news was coming, but it was good news, and somehow you received it. It came from whatever source it might be, even from another country. You received this good news. That good news, as it is, was like water to a thirsty soul. Think about it. How about this one? This is in very sharp context so far as this pearl is concerned. 23:23 of Proverbs, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Buy the truth and don't sell it. How important is truth to you? Well, today is becoming meaningless. You know that, don't you? We're living in a day of relativism, where truth doesn't amount to hill of a beans. Yeah, here it says, buy the truth and don't you dare sell it. Don't you sell it. It is the most important thing that you could have in your possession is truth. Oh, yeah, remember Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if you are free, you will be free indeed. Otherwise, when you find truth, you get it, you hold on to it, you keep it, you don't sell it, you don't get rid of it. It is the most precious commodity that could ever be given to you. Truth. 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 Think about it. Buy is an interesting word, isn't it? How many times have you heard somebody say, I don't buy that? Isn't that interesting? I don't buy that. What does that mean? Well, I don't accept that. I don't believe that. You can't sell me on that, right? That's why I don't buy that. I don't buy that. So I guess I want to encourage you very quickly. We're going to go down through Proverbs, and it's going to be simple for you. And I'm just going to go right down through verse 3, 4, whatever. And we're going to look at certain verses. But I want you to think with me. Take some time to think the verse through and how it applies to life today. Well, I know the Bible isn't relative today, right? We have progressively evolved beyond this book. This book has nothing to say that applies to our world or our lives today, right? Right? So I want you to listen to these verses, and I want you to see if you can accept that, all right? My favorite is Proverbs chapter 3, beginning verse 4 and following. It just simply says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. You know how crazy people are going today to try to understand things? Acknowledge Him that He is. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He, that is God, will make your path straight. Think about it. Make your path straight. A lot of people today have no path, period. They're walking like blind people. They have no idea where they're going, have no way to go. A lot of people are, going like this. Some people are like out on the freeway. I can't believe, I'm pretty accurate. I drive about 73 miles an hour. But I'll bet you that I had people go by me that had to be going 90 to 100 miles an hour. I mean, they passed me like I was standing still. And I think that's where a lot of people are today. They're out there on this freeway. They got the foot on the accelerator. They got that baby pushed all the way to the floor. But they have no place. They have no idea where they're going. They're just waiting for the car to just simply annihilate or smash up or whatever, And I find a lot of people are like a fence. They run around a lot, but they don't go anywhere. And my Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It also says, double-minded people are unstable in all the ways. I need guidance. We need a shepherd. We need someone to show us the way. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. We're like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. Jesus came to lead us back in the right way, lead us back into a right relationship with God, and we need that today. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. Listen to these. Listen to this verse, every one of you. Okay? There are six things that God hates. Okay? Yes, seven that are an abomination to Him. In other words, He hates these. They're an abomination. They make Him sick to His stomach. To abominate means to throw up, to get sick and to puke it up, if you will. Can I be more vivid? Sometimes I don't think we get the emphasis where it needs to be. Okay? What does he hate? He hates haughty eyes. Haughty eyes. People who think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. We don't have trouble with that today, do we? Huh? No. How about a lying tongue? I guess when you consider the press and everything else that's going on, seemingly there's an awful lot of lying going on today, right? Huh? Yeah. Lying is a byword today. Doesn't matter. Truth is not relative. Okay, remember that. How about hands that shed innocent blood? You think God hates what's going on over in ISIS and all those other countries when poor women and children and everybody is being slaughtered for what? God hates hands that shed evil blood. He hates it. He hates a heart that devises wicked plans. He hates a heart that does that. He hates feet that run swiftly to evil. He hates a false witness who utters lies against his brother. He hates all who spread strife among brothers. Well, God, that's pretty good, isn't it? Think of all that's happening in our country and all the strife and everything is being spread throughout our land and all that people are doing to cause turmoil and uproar and all the other aspects that are taking place within our land. All in the idea of the right for the freedom of speech. God hates it. It's an abomination to him. Okay? How about Proverbs 10:12? Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Hatred stirs up strife. Isn't that what I'm seeing today? Aren't we seeing hatred just permeating like a leaven within our country? And it's eating this country up. What does love do? Love covers over transgressions. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a perfect person who has ever walked the face of the earth except Jesus Christ. We will never have perfect senators, perfect House representatives. We'll never have a perfect president. We'll never have a perfect preacher. We'll never have a perfect person. There is no one that is perfect in this world other than Christ. We all make our mistakes. We all do things. But what we evaluate is the fruit, the sincerity, the earnestness, and whatever. And I'll tell you that if I don't go around broadcasting people's faults, do you? I love people. Do you love people? I never talk about my wife. I would never say one iota about her. She's just one of these sweet little angels from heaven, that's all. So I'm sorry, I got her. You didn't. Point is, I have nothing but good to say about her. I just feel for her right now. It's breaking my heart to see her sick. But the point is, love covers transgressions and things that are happening. Within. I think we could use a lot more love today. What do you think? Huh? Yeah. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Isn't that amazing? Who in the world is counseling us today? Who in the world is up there teaching and sharing and counseling and giving wise direction and guidance to the people of this country? Who is really, and whose voice is being heard? Who is doing that? And who is willing to listen? You know, that's one of our problems, is this not willing to listen. But in the abundance of counselors, I mean, you know, how many times have you made a decision and never saw counsel? And then wish to God you would have asked somebody. You know? I don't ask just one person. When I'm dealing with something that I believe is really earnest and sincere and I know I need wise counsel, I'll ask 2 to 3 to 4 people their opinion and their concept of what and how I should do. What is the right mood to do? Because in many counselors comes guidance, not just one. Everybody has their own particular agenda. You know that, don't you? Huh? So many times you need to get a diversity of counsel to help you and helping you to make sure you're going in the right direction. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. How about Proverbs 13:14? The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death. The teaching of the wise is like a fountain of life. We need some wisdom today, don't we? Huh? We need some wisdom that's going to give a fountain. You know how many people are dying on our streets today? You know how many people died in Chicago last year from homicides? You know what's going on in this land today? In the aspect, life means nothing today. You know how many babies have been aborted? How many millions and millions and millions of little baby bodies have simply been ripped asunder, and now they're selling their parts? That's evil. There's no other word for it. It's corrupt. It's evil. And every nation that has ever fallen, be it the Babylonians, the Romans, whatever, babies were being sacrificed, thrown in the river. They were being aborted. It's been an ongoing plight. If you don't value life, then you don't value anything. Wisdom is the fountain of life. I think we're lacking a lot of wisdom today in what's going on in this country. And what we're seeing is that we're falling into this snare of death, and death and dying is all around us in so many different ways. I mean, I'm driving home, all I see is these signs, one after another. How many people have died from drunk drivers this year already in this state? And all the way home, hundreds of people have died today, every day, because somebody's out there driving intoxicated. Oh, man. Think about it. It's all over the place. How about Proverbs 13:24? He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Oh, I know. Man, that's out of date. Spock probably turned over his grave when I just got done reading that one. You know, well, you just don't touch a child today because you're going to give it an inferiority. You're going to give it a complex. You know who's got complexes today? Mom and dad. You know who's living in fear in their own home today? Mom and dad. You know who's running the house today? Not mom and dad. What does it say? I mean, whole aspects of it. Is that verse relative today or isn't it? Huh? You bet it is. You bet it is. And he who withholds that rod hates his son. That's what it says. That hates it. And don't kid yourself. Your children know whether you really love it by the way you let it get away with things. A child left to itself without discipline knows that those parents don't really care. Seriously. The message you send to your child by disciplining them and trying to guide them in the right direction is that you really do care and you love him. You want the best for him. Isn't that right? Huh? Yeah. I remember. How many of you remember the razor straps? Oh, come on. Nobody here. You did good. Good, 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 good. I'm glad. Mom had a double one. You know, I think there was a noise that scared me more than when it hit me, but it went boom, boom. Remember that? Boom, boom. Didn't just hit one. Boom, boom. It hit me twice, okay? You know how many times she had to do that? It taught me in two times that when Mom said something, Mom meant it. And if I didn't obey and do what she said, you know what? That's right. I get it. See, he knows. Thank you. Thank you, James. Appreciate that. Okay. But this is not relative today. In fact, if you touch your child today, you could be in trouble. You know that? It's crazy, isn't it, the world we live in today? How about Proverbs 14:12? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How many times you quoted that one? Huh? There's a way. You know how many times it's quoted in Proverbs? Three times it's quoted in Proverbs. Must be important that we understand that there is a way you may choose to go, but the end thereof is corruption or death, right? So you better make right choices, right? You better seek wise counsel and direction to make sure you're going in the right direction, right? Because the way you've chose may not be a way of life. It may be a way of death. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. You know what other nations are doing right now about us? They're laughing at us. I'm serious. You know that there are other countries that are teaching their Christian people to get ready to send them over here as missionaries to preach the gospel in America? You know that? They see us how sick we are and how disgraceful we are as a nation, that we're allowing sin to become such an ungodly aspect of our lifestyles today. Khrushchev said, and when he was president of Russia, we'll never have to drop a bomb on the United States. They will destroy themselves from within. You remember when he said that? Huh? Sin always has led every nation that has ever fallen, be it the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the rulers, you name it. They didn't fall from without. They fell from within. Moral decay. It's a disgrace of what is going on in our country today and how much perversion is being sold in the marketplace and how many little and young ladies are being kidnapped and sold on the marketplace out there. It is ungodly what's going on. And yet we're rioting because we want not to stop all these corrupt people from coming into our country. Amazing, huh? 27% of those who have been across our borders have killed somebody, stole somebody, done something wrong in our country and broke the law, and most of them have never been arrested for it. Oh, man, but we don't want to let them in. I'm not against letting people come in. Let's just make sure the ones we're letting in are coming here for the right reason, the right purpose, and they're willing to obey the law. That's all. I mean, why not? Okay? We're all people that have come. My ancestors came from Wales. You know that? That's why I'm a great preacher. I'm a whaler. Oh, well. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentle answer. That'd be good in our marriages, wouldn't it? Is that we'd answer one another a little more calmly, a little more gently, and not so harshly, because all we're doing is going to stir up an argument, right? Yeah, you are. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Man, I tell you, it's an important aspect that you and I take our life and our plans and our direction and bring them in harmony with what this book teaches. Okay? Proverbs 16:8, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride always goes before the fall. Pride always goes before the fall. I said pride always goes before the fall. You either stay humble or you're going to stumble. You'll fall flat on your face, just as sure, because God hates pride. He hates it. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair, bud. Oh, you poor people, you don't have any honor. Joe, you got honor, man. You got gray hair. Think about it. Gray hair. I love my gray hair, don't you? Come on. Yeah. I'm getting less all the time, so appreciate what I got left, okay? Good grief, you know. But isn't that amazing? How many of you knew that was even in the Bible? Okay. I just thought I'd add that one in for a little humor today. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Nothing should be more precious to you than your name. And that you honor that name and you live that name with integrity, that you have a good name and people know you as a good person. Amen? Nothing more precious than having a good name, really. Proverbs 22:6, you train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many of that has given hope to your hearts? Huh? Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. We've seen that to be true. I know it's true. It really is. Sooner or later, their hearts turn back home. Sooner or later, their hearts turn back to God. If you've trained them. Okay? If you've trained them. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Now, how many of you, when you got whipped, you really wanted to pretend like you were dying? And you wailed and you cried and you just carried on terrible and whatever. I remember Mom said, you keep acting and crying like that, I'm going to give you a little more. You know what? That just quieted me right down. You really did. Now, how many of you think I turned out pretty bad? You know, how many of you think that maybe I learned something through the discipline of my mom? One thing I learned was to respect people. I learned respect. I respected her. I respected her and loved her for what she helped me to become. Because I would not be who I am without the discipline of my mother. I did not have a father. He was gone all week, came home drunk on weekend. Mom raised me. And I honor her for that. I really do. And so when I think about how many times she let me have what I deserved, it didn't take me long. That was the joy of it all. It didn't take me. I'm not talking about being brutal. I'm not talking about punishing a child. There's a difference between punishment and discipline. Discipline is where your will becomes a part of the will of the child, and you allow that will to help that child understand why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, there were times I just picked myself up the ground and I had no idea why Dad did what he did, but he just did it, you know, because that's how he felt right then. That wasn't discipline. That's brutality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about discipline that attends to the will of the child. Don't break the child's spirit. You direct the will. For many times a child's spirit is literally destroyed by the parents' way of brutally handling them. That's not what you want. You want to direct the child in the right way. Amen? That's what you want. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. And the wicked stumble, and they stumble into calamity. Yeah, we all fall, don't we? But we rise again. Rise again, and we rise again. God continues to take people and lift them up. I never will ever forget the aspects of David and his fall. He did fall, didn't he? He paid the price for it too, you know. He lamented and he sweat and he didn't sleep and he whatever and his bone ached and night long he dealt with what he had done. But it is after the fall that God raised him up and God declared that David became a man after his own heart. Sometimes people never come to the reality of who they are and who God is until after they've hit rock bottom. And then they can only look up. They'll rise again. They rise again. They rise again. By the power of God, of course. How about Proverbs 25:11? Like apples of gold in the settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstance. You said you read that. Well, I just wanted you to see it's in the Bible twice, in Proverbs two times. Have you noticed that he repeats himself? You notice that it the way it seems right onto a man? Maybe he thought maybe his sons would miss it. Maybe he thought you and I would miss it, okay? So it's mentioned again. How about Proverbs 26:12? Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Wow. It's amazing to me, isn't it? How many times we see people who think they got all the answers, right? They know it all. I have young people today, I've counseled young people today, and it's always amazing to me how they just have all the answers. Have you noticed that about kids today? They got all the answers, don't they? The problem is, they don't know what question the answers go to. You understand what I just said? They may have all the answers, but they have no idea what the question is. They don't even understand what the answer applies to. That's why they're so undirected in their lives today. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Confession, forsaking, compassion. They go together. Proverbs 29:15. Oh, here we are again. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. A child just left to its own way will bring shame to its mother. Proverbs 35, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Every word has been tested. This book is true. It has gone through the test of time and life, and it's still relative today, isn't it? How many of these Proverbs are relative today? Huh? Every one of them. Every one of them have something to say to us today. Why? Because we all have the same problem today they had back then. It's called sin. Period. Right? In the aspect of it. Proverbs 35, every word of God is tested. Proverbs 31:10, this is my favorite verse. Proverbs 31:10, my favorite verse of all the Proverbs. Okay? An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. You see, I have no doubt in my mind that Marilyn was the woman that I needed in my life to become who I am today. My wife was an English teacher, and my grammar stunk. I was horrible. I was crucifying the English language. In fact, because of that, I had a professor at college tell me, Bill, I don't think there's any reason or any hope for you. You probably ought to do something other than preach. Seriously. Because, you know, I have went. No, I have gone. Okay. All of a sudden, I mean, she kept after me and she kept after me. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I don't hear TH nor R's. I don't hear those sounds at all. I had to have therapy and put my tongue and work and have it tell me, is that correct? Car? Yeah. I mean, I've had to go through this and through that. You know, your brain is a marvelous thing. How all of a sudden it just automatically takes your tongue where it's supposed to go after you've trained it to do so. You know that? It does. You know? So what he did for me was the greatest gift he could have given me, because that motivated me that I was going to do whatever I had to do to become a good speaker. And it took time, took a lot of work, a lot of sweat, a lot of heartache, and it took a lot of people to be patient with me. And thank God for you and for others that allowed me to grow. But I had an excellent wife that worked with me. Amen. So what are we looking at today? We're looking at these pearls. There are many, there are few. You could find more. But just think about the aspect. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's Proverbs 11:30. What? Winning people to Christ, to God, is wise? Bringing people to a knowledge of the truth is wise? Helping them to see and to understand these pearls of great price is wise? Why would you give for these pearls? How much would you sell these pearls for? Are they valuable to you or they are not? Have you memorized them? Have you learned them? Are you living them as you projected them? And are you teaching them to others? Because if you taught people today that they need to discipline their children, chances are they're not going to like it. I'm serious. Chances are they're not going to receive you. They're going to dispel. They're going to hate this pearl. They don't want that pearl today. They really don't. In the aspects of that pearl. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine either. Isn't that what he said this morning? If People don't want to receive the truth. They don't want God's word. They don't want these pearls of great price that Jesus shed his blood for. Then certainly we're not going to lay them out in front of them. Because he went on and said that it's like taking these pearls and throwing them into a herd of swine who are going to do nothing but trample them in the mud and wallow in them. Isn't that right? No value to them. No importance, no significance to them whatsoever. But the kingdom of God, the gospel, the good news, the love of God is the most precious pearl that you and I possess. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. Love it. Hold on to it. Cling to it. Because it not only gives you power for an abundant life today, it gives you the promise of an eternal life tomorrow. Amen? So when you and I think of this kingdom, it's like a merchant looking for fine pearl. And when he finds one, he goes out and sells everything he has to buy that pearl. To buy that pearl. Oh, God help us, huh? When we look at the world in which we live in today, and this string of pearls that you and I can put on every day of our lives and helps us to be the people we are. But I look at the cross and I look at the love of God and I look at how much he was willing to do on my behalf. What would you give for the price of your soul? What are you willing to sell your hope for? You know? We think of the pottage, the soup, Jacob and Esau. Huh? Think about it. He had a right to the birthright, right? But he sold it for what? For a bowl of soup. And that's what people are doing today. They're selling their souls for a bowl of soup. You know that? They really are. When Jesus came to give you a birthright, that you could become a child of God, and have and become adopted, a joint heir with him, and have a promise of an inheritance eternal laid up for you and stored for you in heaven, and it's incorruptible, it's there waiting for you. And you're going to sell it for a bowl of soup? For whatever the world may have to offer? The bowl gets empty, you know. Then how are you going to fill it again? You know, you can't. So if you have not come to know the gospel and the beauty of the cross and the beauty of Christ in your personal life, then we certainly encourage you to start that search now. We're here to help you. We're here to do whatever we can to guide and direct you to the Christ who loves you and died for you. Amen. And if you have that pearl and he's a part of your life and you live in that string of pearl, then if you have the truth, buy it, keep it, don't sell it. Amen. Keep it. Don't sell it. Nothing can replace what you found in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Just stand with me. Let's sing our closing hymn.